Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, it's Stephen Kane here from Glasgow, and you're listening to Ben Baptiste Questions Everything. My question is it fair to make gingers work in this hot weather we've been having? Okay, here comes the show, and remember, question everything.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Dame Baptiste Questions Everything, a podcast where myself, comedian, writer, and occasional actor Dame Baptiste, my producer friend Howard Cohen, aka The Hizzer.
Oh, hello. Hello.
And a mix of very special guests pose the questions that need to be asked. And we are talking everything from...
Well, we're talking everything from Stephen from Glasgow's question. Is it fair to make gingers work in hot weather? Dane.
Well,
very specific.
It's very specific. I would say, Stephen, I think it's fair to make them work in hot weather, but not because they're ginger. Also, I would stress that, you know, if you are opposed to people being forced to work in harsh conditions like hot weather, I got a whole family tree to show you, bro. So
I was about to say, where do you want to go, Stephen? Which path of doom do you want, Stephen? Yeah.
Which would also include your ancestors as well. So
yeah,
I don't think it's fair to make anybody work. Yeah. So my answer is, I don't think it's fair to force anybody to work against their will. Gingers, and also the anagram for gingers included.
And suffice to say, on this podcast, we ask and answer all of the questions, and fairly politely, I would say, as well.
Absolutely. And if you do like the show, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts or follow us on Spotify and you'll never miss an episode. Or subscribe to us on Acast, the world's biggest podcast network, where you can hear all the very special questions being answered by our very special guests. With that being said, on today's show is an award-winning presenter. He's presented shows on BBC Radio 1 Extra, Capital Radio, BBC and CBBC. He was also the lead presenter on international tech show How Hacks Work. In 2016, he launched the award-winning entertainment podcast How to Kill an Hour alongside Funk Butcher. It has since grown into a platform creating content around the best ways to kill time. And he also has a new podcast out with our homeboy, Kay Kerr, the inaugural guest on Question Everything, about their lack of general knowledge, which is very amazing. I recommend you check it out. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Marcus Brunzi.
Thank you for a fabulous intro, Dane. Thanks, Howard.
Welcome. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you very much. Happy to be on the podcast. I want to say shout out to all my gingers out there. I see you suffering.
It's hard times. It used to be the thing in the Victorian times. That's how you knew if somebody was well-to-do, because they wouldn't have any sunburn because they wouldn't work. So they'd have a real alabaster complexion and be pale. But then it changed when international travel became a thing, where obviously you'd be seen to be more wealthy if you was darker, because it would be indicative that you've travelled and seen the sun other places. And that's why you get these leathery expats in Balearics these days.
That is some serious knowledge, Dane. Impressive.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I know a few gingers. One of my best friends has a friend who knows a ginger guy. And friend is a ginger guy. So. But no, I think it was an interesting question. And hold tight to all my gingers out there, from your regent, Prince Harry, all the way down to Ron Weasley.
Yeah, I'd say.
Gingers everywhere.
Yeah. Do you cope well in the heat, Marcus?
I love warm weather, but I think it's a different kind of warm in the UK when it's warm, isn't it? Look at us talking about the weather like typical British people. But when I'm on holiday, I love the heat. I'm in the sun. Obviously, I wear my factor in the sun as well. I don't want to have leathery skin. You know, I want to maintain this uncracked look for as long as possible. But when I'm here in the UK, I have a real bad relationship with weather. I don't mind hot. I don't mind cold. I don't like inconsistency. And the thing about UK weather is today I left the house in shorts, a hoodie. And when I went to the gym before this recording, it was kind of chilly outside. When I came out, it was blaring sun. And I feel like I don't want to live in a part of the world where I need sunglasses, an umbrella, a rain mat, shorts. I just want consistency. That's what I want.
England has like a weird, like, I'm looking for? It's a weather pattern. We have the weather system, which kind of works like the backseat of like a Ford Scorpio from like the 1980s. No, like the old school cars. Like when it's cold, it is blitzing in that car. The choker's going. You're trying to get the heat up. That's what England's like. It's like when it's kind of cold, it's like so ridiculously cold and I can't breathe. And then when it's hot, it's like unbearable traveling with livestock hot. And then every now and again, somewhere like, you know, it'd be like April the 28th. And then we'll get nice weather and no one predicted it.
I would point out that if you want a consistent weather, you're probably on the wrong planet from now on. So good luck, everyone.
There used to be some consistency, Howard. The meteorology used to make some sense, right?
Before, all fucked. It's all fucked. Welcome to the end.
I mean, I saw a fire tornado on my. I was looking at Instagram, and they've been issuing weather warnings in America for a fire tornado.
Cool. That's like, honestly, should the three of us start a band called the Fire Tornadoes? Because that's a fucking great band.
If it doesn't exist already, but they were like, it's not even the first time there's been a fire tornado. My thing is this. I think between fire tornadoes, Hurricane Ida, plus murder hornets and locusts, it's like, Americans, do you still think that God likes you? Because I feel like, this is like, when the only plague that's missing is the streets running, is the rivers turning red. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure there's probably a river in the States which does run red because of someone trying to get rid of some kind of iodine. So we're not too far off. How many more plagues? What I'm trying to say is, America, is let my people go. You see?
that lineup of plagues though, Dane, that sounded like a festival lineup, you know. I was like, wow, that sounds like that is a real rockers festival.
Oh, did you see the locusts? Did you see the locusts in the dance 10,
Yeah, oh no, I'm seeing fire tornado later. They're sick.
It's a secret gig. You've got to get the pass. It's probably time for a question, isn't it, Dane, as the format of this show tends to dictate?
Absolutely. As our very esteemed guest, Mr. Marcus Bronzi, we invite you to ask our first question. Any question you would like, of course, which you'd like to discuss for 15 minutes or some change, then Hal would like to pose a question for you, which we'd all like to discuss. And then I would like to do the same, lather, rinse, repeat, and then we go on to live our lives and you can tell our good listeners where they can find out more about your good works. How does that sound?
Certainly, that sounds great. So do I go first then?
Yeah, absolutely. guest first.
Okay then. Right, guys. So this is kind of one that's been an ongoing conversation that I've had with a few mates kind of over the last few months. And I don't feel like I have the answer. If we can get closer to it by the end of this segment, I'll be really happy. But it's basically, do we control social media, or ultimately does social media control us?
Ah. What a brilliant question.
Great question.
Because I'll be honest with you, this morning I woke up and without even realizing it, the first thing I did was pop on the gram and had a little look to see what was going around. And I don't know whether that was 100% my choice, 90% my choice, or 80% my choice, because it happened. That's how I started my day.
Before Dane downloads some serious heavies on this one, because he's got many. What kind of do you feel, Marcus? Do you feel that it has you under control at times?
So I have a very unique relationship, like I believe we all do, with social media. So I have an interest in tech. Obviously, you mentioned the How to Kill an Hour podcast, where you look for new ways to kill time. We lean into the technology side of ways to kill time. So we're always having this conversation. So I'm hyper aware that everything I do on social media has an effect on an algorithm of sorts. I mean, even now recently, at the time of recording this, WhatsApp, aka Facebook, has been fined for sharing its data with another Facebook company, Instagram, 225 mil, which isn't very much for them, a bit of a slap on the wrist.
That's but like I'm a very weekend of advertising for them. That's nothing.
Exactly. Good press.
That's not it's great press. It's like a weekend of advertising. There's nothing to them. That is hilarious.
So could you imagine Mark gets the call? He's like, 225 mil. Oh yeah, that's all right. What do they want to take it? Cash, or should we just do
exactly? You know, just probably just go find them, just go in the basement and get a box.
Yeah. Give money, Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So personally, my relationship with social media is I'm very hyper aware of that. So I think I deliberately try to create a bit of separation. So and I'm not trying to dig at people who share a lot on social or some say overshare, but I feel like I'm somebody who what you see of me on social media is definitely me. It's 100% me. It's what I'm doing. But I'm very aware that I don't want to put too much of myself into the algorithm, because I don't want it to kind of get me. And if you're thinking that this sounds really kooky when you're listening to this, like, I'm sure after Dane and Howard speak, you're going to know that a lot of what I'm saying now isn't like kooky, crazy stuff. This is actual factual stuff. Like, you know, when we're on social media, the amount of time you look at a picture, if you go back and look at something after liking it, that kind of data is saved all the time. And it feeds into this massive algorithm that ultimately its job is to keep you on that social media platform or its cousins for as long as possible.
I tell you what, just before Dane's on the starter's gun, ready to go. But it's like, I was going to say one thing is just that at some point in the history of the social media account of Dane Baptiste Questions Everything, which you can find us at DBQE Pod, I got asked to share a thing about someone who had a family member who was really sick. Mm-hmm. And so we shared it, because why wouldn't we? Dane, you wouldn't know this because I log into the account a lot of the time to use it. And every time I log into the account, I am given people whose family members are dying as part of the algorithm that they have given us, which is slightly fucking mental and obviously quite controlling of my mind, which is slightly disturbing. But Dane, come on, man, like, let's go. Like, how'd you feel?
Yeah, I feel it's a really good question because, it's really kind of really about that duality about whether it does control us and how much we control. And in many ways, yeah, it's a larger question about our free will. I think in some cases, like when you said today, where you woke up and just had a look, I think some of that can be down to you. Yeah, it's now become a natural part of your routine because social media's, its purpose is, like, as well as being a way of could be potentially networking or connecting with people, it's also become one of the most primary news sources. So normally, like, when you'd want to find out what's going on in the world when you wake up, even the smallest thing, like the weather itself, you're going to use your phone to do that. And then social media will, and obviously through their algorithms and through their studying of patterns of behavior, they can suggest stuff at the time. So in the morning, you might not think, but your phone's waking you up as well. That's the problem, is that the phone works as the gadget, which is like the omnipotent gadget, which is always going to drive you towards social media. So it's kind of like a unholy union, because you wake up and turn your alarm off. You wake up, check your weather, You wake up to, check if there's the lanes on the train. And while that happens, you're leaving yourself predisposed for social media to get you. And then I would say that it varies depending on... I think it varies from person to person. I think, like I said, I can use social media as a tool and it can be a very effective one. Because working within a medium where there's a certain level of anthropology to doing comedy is that you can very quickly find out by what's trending. It's a great way of finding out what is current and what's topical as a comic. And then by that same token, being able to gauge people's responses to it, you can definitely measure the pulse of society through using social media. But I think the better way to describe social media is that, I guess it's like fire, in that when humans discovered fire, they realized they could keep their houses warm and they could heat their food. But then fire can also burn you and burn down houses and destroy stuff. And I think social media is very similar in that its danger and the drawbacks are based on how it's being used by people that use it. So I think it can control us because, for a start, algorithms, as you said, like if you mention something and your phone hears it, then social media advertising will begin to orientate towards the conversations that you're having. If you have them, it also, they can kind of measure your mood and stuff as well. So like you said, if you start giving your ghost to the machine and allowing it to read your behavior, like if you react quite emotionally to certain types of news, or if you, you're angry, for example, then it's become a very effective method of polarizing people online as well. And I think at the very extremes, social media can control us to the point of, really, cyber warfare manipulation, as we saw with, like, you know, Russian collusion with the elections and with Brexit and stuff like that as well.
It's funny you should say that, Dane, because you kind of leaned into what I kind of wanted to throw at both yourself and Howard as a second part of this question. Two-part, I hit you with it, didn't tell you.
But basically,
with long-form content as well, it can also have the same effect as social media. Because when I say social media, a lot of people don't think of YouTube or even us doing podcasts as social media. But I recently, I read an article and listened to a podcast called Darknet Diaries. And it was about a gentleman who started off watching a mainstream live interview podcast, which I'm sure is an American one, which lots of American people like. I'm sure you know which one that is. Mm-hmm. And this said gentleman had a guest on his podcast who was, let's say, an alt-right person, to say the least.
They're hard and to find, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, quite a regular guest, on type of guest on this man's show. And they actually downloaded his YouTube history and found that he went on a journey after watching that guest into researching more about that guest on YouTube. And the algorithm kept feeding him more of this guest. And it and this is just one case. I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to demonize the internet.
Sure.
But, and I love social media. I just want to say that as well. But he actually went on this downward spiral where he was actually radicalized. And you know, I've followed this story of this gentleman being radicalized and then kind of realizing where he was and coming out of it. And I just think that it's interesting that there's this algorithm there that the people have created that they don't even know. You know, the guys behind these algorithms don't even know how they work. If you ask them, they really can't tell.
No.
And they can have these really adverse effects on us.
I think it's interesting listening to you both talk because I think you're both highly intelligent people. You know, Marcus, we don't know each other well, but you can clearly a very thoughtful man. And I don't think the world is. I think the world is not very thoughtful. And therefore... And that's not a criticism of, hey, listeners, I'm sure many of you, well, I'd like to think you're mildly thoughtful to listening to this kind of show. But like, or by thoughtful, I suppose what I'm trying to say is kind of thinking, we're trying to have perspective on your existence. Let's call it that, right? You're trying to have perspective on your existence and how it impacts the world and all the rest. So kind of slightly more belligerently than you've both been, I'm going to say, fuck yes, the fucking social media is controlling us, right?
Yeah.
And I'm coming out now. Look, what is it? It's, you know, we're in September 2021. I'm coming out. If someone's getting behind stopping this shit, right? As in, like, I know it's a bit of a sad thought to everyone to go, yeah, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all these things, as you know it, are going to end. We're going to end them because actually they're really fucking us up, right? I'm behind that. I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to hide it. It may be that there's a version of those platforms that is created for businesses and entrepreneurs. So like Marcus Dane, like your businesses, your income is dictated partly by using those platforms. I think there could be another iteration of those platforms that allow, just like, for example, do you remember when you used to look in Time Out magazine and you might read something about someone like Marcus or Dane and you'd be like, oh, they're interesting. I might go and look at more of their stuff. Like, you don't need it fed to you 24 hours a day. And because we're being fed it 24 hours a day, I think we're now in a situation where we have lost complete perspective on its impact. That's my personal take.
But then... Could you not compare that same experience to how much TV is affected? I just think, you know, in terms of social media, the aspects of social media you're referring to where we use algorithms, like the research into human psychology to motivate sales and commerce has been going on before even social media, like the whole work of Edward Bernays, for example.
I tell you what the big difference is, mate, and this is not to say, like, you're wrong. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just kind of trying to make a difference maker between those things of television and cinema and, you know, wherever you go. Billboards is, I believe, it is largely your choice to consume those things. I think... the social media thing has skewed our brains into thinking, hey, go on this thing. It's all about you and telling everyone how basically fucking great you are and how much you're bringing to the world. But at the same time, what it does is play on all your insecurities, all your weaknesses, and at the same time, feed you all the shit that you maybe don't need and completely distorts what your entire purpose of your life is. We should fucking end it all.
Which is exactly Howard. But you know, Howard, that sounds like, you know, the endeavor of any capitalist pursuit is to have you isolated, use methods.
You're about to call me a communist.
No. Using methods of shame and then being able to motivate commerce. Because I feel like one of the main things that have the most recent trend I've seen, which is most concerning, is you see how Instagram moved their like button up. And then move the shopping bag button down in the same place that it used to be. And so what I'm saying, Howard, is that, it controls us, but I think it's been a part of a program of monitoring and understanding human behavior with the help of these algorithms for commercial purposes. Because
I mean, look at China. Look at that place in China where basically every move you do You know, I can't remember the name of the city. Apologies to anyone who doesn't actually know what I'm talking about. But like,
everyone's calling it the Black Mirror City because of the reference to the to the Black Mirror episode that Charlie Brooker wrote when he was predicting the future again.
Basically, Charlie Brooker.
I'm waiting for him to come out as a time traveler. Just say, look, guys, look, I've been there. It's all fucked up. That's why I'm here with you guys. And I'm just here for a laugh because you don't want to know what it's like in 200 years. Let's just not go there.
All right, that's. Sounds plausible to me.
When he's on his show,
There you go. Charlie, you're welcome on anytime. What an amazing question that is now. And I don't think we can really get through it on this show, Marcus, because I think you've got so many levels to it, mate.
All right. Well, I'm gonna say after this conversation with you guys, just for a sense, small sense of closure, I feel like it is in control of us more than we're in control of it at the moment.
So I'm saying it's quite worrying as well, because with the algorithms, I think the large issue with me with social media is that because it's got algorithms and it's essentially artificial intelligence, all of its effects are only being measured quantitatively, if that makes sense. So it means when something is suggested by an algorithm, if the algorithm's endeavor is to maybe increase engagement, for example. So if engagement or page impressions or visitors to a page and stuff increase, that's just marked as a success. What's not measured is how that affects people's minds and how that affects them. Because the thing about algorithms
is... That's not important to the algorithm. The algorithm doesn't give a fuck about that.
Well, but the thing is, algorithms don't really, as far as we're aware, it doesn't really have any kind of more moral disposition. Its job is just to measure by numbers. The problem with that being, though, because it's just doing its job, but the problem with that being, though, is that, like I said, if it does send you down a rabbit path, and that means that your mindset changes in a certain way, all an algorithm will do is provide that service of serving you what you want to hear. So really, it's down to other human beings, where it's like, we now have a tangible, being or a tangible phenomenon in terms of artificial intelligence, which can, control us by feeding your ego or feeding whatever parts. And the reason for that is that there are aspects of the human mind which we don't really discuss overtly or as a part of conventional discussions, which algorithms are probably affecting on a subconscious level that we don't even know about yet. And that's the thing is that because algorithms can be used to do stuff they've got like olden day pictures and they can make them move slightly and stuff like that. They can be used so positively, but it's like the fact that we are only using them to map human consciousness for the purpose of commerce is the real issue, I'd say, is controlling us. Because surely you'd be able to work out people's mindsets. Like, if you can work out what can push people to become racist, I'm sure you can work out with algorithms how to, to promote some level of unlearning. But then the question is, like you said, Marcus, how much are we willing to give to of our ghosts to the machine? So I want to dovetail it and wrap up Howard and be like, it can control us. So what I want to ask the audience is, whenever you go on social media, it always asks you the same question. What are you thinking? And maybe we need to ask ourselves, or be asking the question back, why should I be telling you? I don't even know you, Brev.
Marcus, I hope that answers your question.
A little bit. Thanks, guys.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, today, my question is as often inspired by our guest, Marcus, who is behind the How to Kill an Hour podcast and platform. A lot about killing time, right, Marcus?
Yeah. Yeah, so
that's a big thing.
It's a very finite thing. So I thought, yeah, we'd investigate that. Anyway, sorry.
Well, my question is simple as this, because I'm a man who's definitely got some fucking knowledge of killing time. What are some of the stupidest ways that you've ever killed time? We'll go to Marcus first.
That's a really good question.
But I definitely have some fucking winners here, I reckon.
Okay, so I'm just glad that I wasn't around when social media was... I was around when social media wasn't as rife as it is now, because I think some of the stupidest ways I've killed time have definitely been between the ages of 15 and 20. And I'm glad that no one will ever see those. They're not digitally saved anywhere. But I think... he says, wiping sweat from his brow, laughing nervously. But some of the stupidest ways that I have killed time... Wow.
It's interesting as well, because I start thinking about being a child, right? And then there were tons of stupid shit ways. And then as an adult, it's more embarrassing because you're like, I should be better than this.
Do you know what? I think for me, it's really trivial ways I waste time. So for example, going all the way to the office after preparing my lunch the night before and realizing that my lunch is still at home. Do I? Go home angrily because I've made this lunch. I've saved myself money and time. Do I go home and collect this lunch, waste this time, walk back? And like I said, I've walked to the office and it's all cold and I've worn my warm jacket. Is my journey home now? Am I going to be bathed in sunlight? Am I going to be all hot and sweaty by the time I get home, pick up my lunch, come to the office? I'm an hour late. I'm angry now. Am I going to do that? That's a way that I wasted an hour.
Eating at your desk sweaty like a convict. You're like,
Exactly. You're not enjoying yourself. So yeah, that's the way that I have wasted some time.
It's a great one. I think it's a great one. I think it's a fascinating question when you start to analyze. I mean, my number one reason, number one answer to this, and Dane probably already knows this because he spent a lot of time with me. For the life of me, I cannot understand why the fuck every day I am reading about the fucking nonsense that is Arsenal Football Club, right?
I knew you were going to say that.
Why am I doing this to myself every day? And the thing is, right, and let me go deeper with it.
Please do, Howard.
It's not about that moment. Like, I don't really watch the games. Like, and you can see fucking good reason at the moment why. But yeah. I just read about what's going on and I sit there, and it's usually if I'm not working in my normal job at the moment, but like I can sit and get 20, 30 minutes and just read about it. And I'm sitting there going, why do I care what this man said about the game that he lost yesterday? Like, why do I care what this man...
Trying to find meaning for to the senseless destruction.
So I feel like Howard's going to have a lot of energy for this Arsenal rant because... Who does it at the moment?
It's actually not just about Arsenal being shit at the moment. It's actually to do with the fact that why would I think this is a useful use of brain capacity in my mind? Like, and you follow football, Marcus, right?
Yes. I too feel your pain.
Yeah. And it just seems absolutely pointless. And yet I bet I'm one of millions and millions of predominantly men, or not only men, who do that.
Do you know what, though? You think that that's a stupid way to kill time, but at the same time, I think you're giving your brain a little bit of junk food. You're being slightly passive. You're taking in some information and you're not thinking about work. And maybe you need that, because if you spent those 30 minutes focusing on work, that you might be slightly more productive, you know, if you were to look at the numbers, but that you might need that little bit of a break. You know, it's like trying to eat healthy all the time. You know, I'll be honest with you, as somebody who's been big, been slim, been a little bit of in between, I will tell you for a fact, when you have a little bit of junk food or a little bit of bad food whilst you're eating well, it almost, it feels like it helps your momentum. Yes. It helps you to continue. It's like, you know, we have weekends for a reason, which I know Dane has a very complex reason why we have weekends specifically. But, you know, the reason we have weekends is because we need a break, because we can't do 7 days a week. And maybe that 30 minutes of you watching Arsenal is equivalent to somebody watching EastEnders on Christmas Day. It makes you feel sad.
Yeah.
But you're going to do it anyway, every single year.
Yeah. It's an interesting perspective to take on it. I think the reason I definitely feel it's like a stupid way of killing time is what am I doing with this knowledge that I'm acquiring? Like, there's no use for the knowledge. Whereas I look at other ways of killing time and I think about how, you know, I watch Frasier, right? The TV show Frasier. I have probably now watched that show every episode, let's say 6 times. And just so everyone knows, there's about 10 series and there's probably about 200 episodes. What am I gaining? I'm still not really sure. It feels like it's like a comfort blanket. It's just quite quiet sitcom. It's just bizarre. But I also think back to my childhood before I hand it to Dane to say, like, I used to find, as a child, you used to find incredibly juvenile ways to kill time. Like, I used to have a dictaphone, you know, like when before you had a mobile phone, you could have like dictaphones that recorded audio. I used to take it into lessons and record the teacher talking. And then when they asked us a question, try and play back a bit of the teacher to fuck the teacher off. And I look at that and think, that was really good killing of time, right? That was really smart. Like, whereas now I'm like, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing when I kill my time. It just seems all a bit, I don't know, maybe that's just getting old.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think what, the thing about killing time is it's something that's, we're having less, we feel like we have less and less time to kill because our time is filled with, whether you're reading about Arsenal or on social media. So it's quite precious to you. So, you know, like killing time is kind of one thing. And I feel like wasting time is another. And I feel like what you've said, like I just said, I don't feel like it's a waste at all because I feel like you need...
It does to me, just that so little that's bit clear. Of
like, the way you are with Fraser, I'm like that with Star Trek. Like, I have watched all the Star Treks. I'm talking about the original series, Kirk, the animated series. People don't even know exists, right?
Do you talk to Aury Styler, by the way? Because I think you should if you don't.
We're both hosts on the largest YouTube channel for Star Trek.
I'm just
Trek culture,
checking.
Mate. We're all over checking, that.
Yeah. That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear.
When me and Aury found out that we liked Star Trek, it was like we like the room just disappeared and we just locked eyes and we just heard like, oh, did you love. I was like, another one. Oh, finally, brother.
Finally. On that basis, though, when you both find out you're both Trekkies, is the immediate second question, Kirk or Picard? or Janeway.
We did speak about whose catchphrase we like the best, and for me personally, I like Janeway when she says "energize." That for me, it's all gives me little goose pimples on the back of my neck. I love it, goosebumps. Nice. Oh, great!
But I want to do a quick aside on that. Who's the best black dude in Star Trek? Is it Geordi LaForge? Is it Lieutenant Uhura?
Sisko, Captain Sisko from Deep Space Nine. Was an absolute. But before I'd nerd out on Trek, because there's an omnipotent being called Q, right?
Great character.
And basically, he's a character that comes and he can terrorize everyone. And when he met Sisko and they had a little, should we say, a little, it got a little bit handsy. Sisko just punched him in the face, and he turned around and goes, "No one's ever punched me in the face." And he looked at him going, "Yeah, because I'm Sisko. I'm different to everyone else." And I just thought that for me was he was on his zenith there. Sisko. He's my favourite black character.
I feel like I need to say, when you say the word Sisko, isn't it weird how much the world has changed since the thong song?
Yeah.
Isn't the world just weird. Fucking... Think how fucking mental you would be to bring that song out now. Imagine how fucking career-ending that would be.
How risque that sounded. And then Cardi B was like, hold my thong.
Let's take this up a notch. Whack. Yeah. Side note. Thong song, the beat was originally written for Michael Jackson.
Wow.
Sisko liked it so much. He pleaded to let the producers, the name slipped my mind, pleaded for them to let them have, to let him have the beat, and they let him have it.
Wow.
And what they forgot to do was clear the line, because she was living La Vida Loca. So Ricky Martin, to this day, still gets a royalty from the thong song. Because they forgot to clear the sample so that he still gets a nice chunk. Like, Sisko's doesn't do badly off of it, but Ricky Martin, because he did Living La Vida Loca, he still gets a little bit of it as well.
Fantastic.
What stupid ways do you kill time, Dane? We've talked a bit about some of ours.
Good ways. So stupid ways, I would say, would be, it's very simple. It's social media. It's my biggest consumer of time. Like, tweet alone, I made some disparaging remarks about a pop singer, and that went viral. And
so doesn't have fuck all to do with R&B.
That has fuck all to do with R&B. So, which I stated, I felt like I stated as a matter of opinion, but I made it a point of principle to not make any disparaging remarks about the person themselves, apart from maybe questioning a previous conviction they have for actual bodily harm. But what happened was, is that somehow her fans got wind of this, and I lost an entire day gas bagging back and forth with, I might as well just say, Cheryl Cole idiots. Fans. Yeah, with a bunch of idiots. Well, one of them even went so far as to Photoshop an exchange that we had to make it look as if I appeared to have tried to slut shame and threaten members of Girls Aloud.
For God's sakes.
That's a bit much.
So, yeah. When we talk about wasting time, then, you know, indulging with people who reimagine themselves on social media is a terrible waste of time. It's because, well, I mean, it's a waste of time in terms of the fact that, like, when you are arguing with someone online, you're not going to be able to find a resolution to your argument because really that person is not really having that discourse within the paradigm of one person, one party talking to another party. Like, you arguing with a fan page, it might be run by a human being, but it's really a straw man because what is it? What about is about this person are you debating? Or like when people make troll accounts and then they might say something, you respond. On one hand, I'm like, yeah, but on the other hand, I'm like, in real life, would I be arguing with a 16-year-old about who's a better rapper? I wouldn't. I wouldn't give it a time of day. I wouldn't argue. I wouldn't have an argument with somebody about money whose parents buy them their underwear. Like, this is insane. But social media gives all of these, allows us to reimagine ourselves in these avatars. And give this kind of dialogue some kind of credibility. So I would say, yeah, I think social media is one of my wastes of time because it's like I said, on the one hand, it can be very useful and you can have something viral and it's a very, very quick way of checking a barometer of society and you can check use material that wouldn't necessarily work because it's so topical. So social media can be very good. Almost in a way, as a comic, you can use social media as a gym to an extent.
Marcus, we got to quickly come to Marcus because we've heard enough of his ways that he kills time that are pointless. So yeah, we've got some of it, but I just want to dive back.
I just want to say a positive way that I used to enjoy this because I found it a great way to switch off. So a way that I killed time that I kind of miss because it's not something that I'm as comfortable with at the moment, and that is public transport, traveling a lot on it. I think pre-lockdown,
yeah, that's really good as well.
I used to, one thing I liked about getting the tube, right, was the fact that I was disconnected from the world and it was me, maybe a newspaper, maybe a podcast that I downloaded. And I just felt I kind of switched off. And that was a nice way to kill time as well. Such that was really, point. Really cool. And if you're looking for something a bit more techie, I think one of the coolest things I've done to kill time for part of the show is they basically have modded these mini submarines and attached, let's say, submarine engines to them that are supercharged, painted them like killer whales. And I've driven one of those all around the Thames and it can dive underwater. It can jump in the air.
Sweet.
I've never needed a sugary drink so much after 10 minutes of exhilaration before. It was like I'd gone to Thorpe Park and Chessington and Alton Towers all at once.
Wow.
That was a great way to kill time. That's an example of the kind of stuff that we do this out of the studio for the show as well. So yeah, that's a cool way to kill time for myself. If you want something that's a little bit less me just moaning.
Listeners, give us a shout and let us know on our social media platforms how you waste time in slightly, not, I don't know if there's meaningless, there's slightly silly ways.
Yeah.
But anyway, Dane, over to you for the final question of today's show.
So I was just, obviously I've been a guest on How to Kill an Hour. It's a great podcast. And also obviously Marcus and I have worked together and it's been very interesting because we tend to chance upon one another in places where we wouldn't expect people like ourselves to be. Which again is a great thing. Yeah, loads of times.
Story of our lives.
It's a great thing, but it's like, I think it's very important, your role in terms of, you know, occupying the space in terms of gadgets and technology and making people aware of tech and STEM industries. And I say that to say this. On the way home, yeah, I was thinking about, do you know Akon has a city in Africa where he said it's going to be all solar powered and provide power to over like 200 million Africans, which is amazing. And it made me think, if there is a capability within that, why that's not happening everywhere else? But I guess my main question is about, obviously we've seen with like the pandemic and stuff, infrastructure is going to change significantly. Automation is also going to change the way our labor forces work and stuff as well. But without being too morbid, I was going to say, like, are there like, maybe so far as like change have a direct effect on infrastructure and society, are there like 5 emerging technologies / gadgets that you're looking forward to appearing for commercial use?
Yes. I think about this kind of stuff all the time and I think it's super important. And I've heard you mention, both of you, Howard and Dana, I've heard you mention sustainability in the future. And I think some of these are variations of tech that exists, but them existing in a format that actually means that they're viable. So, for example, let's look at, before I get into them, mobile phones have been around for years, right? Mm. But it wasn't until you didn't need a briefcase to carry your phone that it became something that was a real product of should we say, something that actually helped us, really. Before, it was just something you showed off with, really. Oh, I've got a suitcase, there's a phone in it, I can call you from outside the house, right? Mm. But so in that respect, I think solar technology needs to develop to a degree where we can realistically, actually, ourselves as consumers, individuals, have solar panels on our properties so that we can power our houses, not to a point where, shall we have a cup of tea or watch the TV, to a point where I can run the hot tap and feel fine about having a bath and knowing that it's solar powered. And there are a few people that have actually managed to almost get to this point. And I'm really passionate about this subject, so thank you for asking this, Dane. There's a few people that have managed to install enough solar panels to create a farm where they're putting energy back onto the grid, and they're small businesses. They're not just, you know, the big energy giants. And there is, there's somebody that I don't know if I can say too much about them, but they have enough leftover energy to heat their pool, right? It doesn't cost anyone anything. So I'm really passionate about that. So I can't wait until we realistically can have solar power that powers everything around us without us having to burn things. I think it's a shame that the industry is set up so that we still need to burn fossil fuels. And there's a lot of cool technology out there, like electric vehicles that run on clean energy. But I always say, where's the clean energy come from? So I think I really can't wait for that to happen. And obviously with solar power, obviously there's wind and there's also water that we can use to create energy as well. So I think that's great. And another technology that I think I'd really want us to develop is, it's obvious now that our climate is going through some rough stages at the moment.
It's looking quite peak.
Yeah, I mean, there's things that sound...
Did anybody else see August, yeah? That was a mad August. That's the greyest August I've seen, I think, in recorded memory. I've never seen an August that grey, boy. That was a bit wild.
Yeah, it was, I mean, look, like you said it in jest, but I know you are 100% serious, Dane. We're seeing biblical things happen across the world.
Biblical things happen.
You know, and yeah, there's people that are making light of it, like the gentleman that was on a little inflatable floating through New York, you know, chilling out, drinking a martini or whatever. But it's a city that is not meant to have that amount of water on it.
Not
you know
what I mean? All.
Anyway, I digress. But I think that these things happening in the Western world and in developed cities means that we're going to have to think about ways of controlling climate, maybe on a local basis, and also making sure that we protect our own resources when it comes to creating food. Because if you have too much water, can't grow crops. If it's too hot, can't grow crops. You know, we need those to feed ourselves. So if we can get those sorted out, I would really like to see that technology. And this is a bit Kumbayari, shared with the developing countries out there that have extreme weather, right, have lived with it. So if we can sort that out on our side, we can share that technology. So that's the technology that I really would like to see shared. And obviously, this is me speaking from the mind of somebody who's watched Star Trek, where, you know, they live in a world where they don't have to pay for anything and, you know, food's just abundant. But I'd really like to get there with technology. And in terms of communication as well, I sound like I'm just reeling off stuff from Star Trek. I want a communicator, man. I want something I put in my ear. A Japanese man speaks to me and I hear him say, "Hello, Marcus, how are you today?" And I say something back to him and he hears me in Japanese. What?
How far are we?
But I want it now.
Yeah, are we almost there? Was Google almost there?
It's like a bit of a delay. There's a bit of a delay. Like, I don't think I could go up to a Japanese man and say, "Yeah, what's happening, fam? We good?" And he's going to be like, "Oh yeah, cool," and spud me. He's not going to understand that.
No, not right away.
Marcus, come on, mate. I'm sorry, mate. I'm not having that. Teleporter. Come on, mate. Teleporter. What are you chatting about the communicator for? God, you telling me the fucking, what was I telling you? A 6-hour round trip to Bradford last night, or whatever it was. Come on, mate. Teleporter, please.
You know what, Howard? When you said that, my mind just went to the sandwiches that I forget at the office when I get home. I'm like, yeah, teleport back. Apparently, totally fine now. Not an issue.
They're not far off that either. There has been some research where, because in order for teleporting to work, Howard, essentially you have to disintegrate and then your
Yeah.
Molecules have to
not
be reconstituted.
Not far off that, by the way, but anyway.
Yeah, and they have to be reconstituted. So, but then obviously, being obviously human beings and any living organism is a massively, massively complex being.
Oh, yeah.
So I think what they've been able to do is teleport like an electron so far.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll get it started. Because like I said, remember how it's like there's quantum physics in terms of like two things can't occupy the same space, time and space at the same time. Right. So that's why you have to be disintegrated and then recreated somewhere and stuff.
But
as well.
You know what? Science, listen, no offense. Get on with it, will you? Like, what are you doing? Because you're wasting time on stupid shit.
Wasting all this time on vaccines and shit like that. Get a fucking proper job. Come on, mate.
Good point.
Come on.
It is interesting, though, isn't it, to think? I mean, also, by the way, Marcus, you should probably meet my wife to talk about this stuff, obviously, not just for any random reason.
I was like, wow. Okay.
That's an advanced technological phenomenon.
as listeners will know, my wife runs a website that is all about sustainable shopping and products that are built to last and stuff, and is very much fundamentally kind of trying to drive that narrative that you're talking about. Where these things do feed into each other, because if you did have teleporters, suddenly fossil fuels being used for travel seems like a fucking joke, right? So
there we go. Yeah. And isn't it interesting?
Powering teleporters and stuff as well.
Exactly. And isn't it interesting that out of all of our technologies, things have progressed and moved forward. The internet's faster. Yeah, the way we can access information is faster, but travel has actually become slower. Like the Concorde doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And you know.
Hovercrafts, someone said to me the other day, like, people don't really fuck with hovercrafts that much. But that being said, hoverboards, like, I'm not happy with where we are, if I'm honest. Society, and again, as Howard has said, scientists, come on, guys. Like, why are you still wasting time putting silicone into sex dolls' breasts? Like, can we focus, please? But the electric scooters, I feel like we're almost there. But I'm saying, if we now have electric scooters, and then you have drones, personal drones, right? A personal and drones can like deliver goods by now. We can't be too far off a prototype which allows people to have a hoverboard. But maybe we think about what the hazard involved in that is. But then again, I think, you know, so far as reducing emissions through vehicles, I think that's a.
I think hoverboards when they finally do come out will come with a sports almanac and a.
I mean, it could definitely happen. I definitely see it happening. But I feel like the use of drones. That's got to be definitely an emerging technology that's that's exponentially increasing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, drones. All right, so this is where it gets a little bit spooky. So this is real tech that exists. So people have managed to put the following things on drones in separate circumstances. So drones with special omnidirectional microphones that can pick up human distress calls. So if there is a problem, or if there's a victim, you can find them. There's also drones that they've put sensors on that can pick up differences in chemicals in the air, which is smell. And they've also, with AI and visual techniques, you can also have drones which can recognize the difference between humans and animals and inanimate objects as well. So drone technology is definitely got a lot of flavors that are being added into it, which could be used for the good. But there's also a lot of interest from military companies as well, who think that this technology is fantastic.
all of this
you combine a drone with, like, you know, and it just needs facial recognition and stuff like that, bruv, and there's nowhere to hide, man.
Needs red eyes and to be shaped like a human being and to be called a T-1000, and we're there, bruv, innit? We're almost
We're almost there, you know. I say we're not too far off.
Have you seen this boy? But just, I mean, to say one thing, though, is that, you know, we've talked about these incredible advancements in technology, right? And when I go to a hotel, I have to stand around like a fucking idiot watching this fucking conveyor belt of toasting nonsense every fucking time, right? Why? How the fuck? And I don't mean to get angry about toast, right? But like, that conveyor belt, when you're at the hotel and you're like, okay, some geezer's put his toast in, right? Cool. What I'll do now is I'll put my toast in next. I don't know whose toast it is, but we're both going to end up with toast really, really slowly. Why is toasting never advanced?
And then there's
Marcus. Come on, stand up for your fucking industry. What's going on with my toast?
Marcus, I apologise that Howard can't handle the very slight awkwardness that you get at breakfast buffets. You know, when you're waiting for the toast and someone's like,
Hungry yet? Yeah.
You all know that Howard's internal monologue is raging whilst he's selecting his jam.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like, I've got everything else ready here on the plate. Like, I've got five people doing toast in a fucking conveyor belt.
It's crazy. What? I don't know how, to be honest, Howard, there's got to be another way. Whoever can find a more energy efficient way of toasting bread. Because remember, that like infrared as well, which does that's actually used quite a lot of energy, toasters.
Yeah,
for energy conversion. So there's probably a alternative somebody is working on. Solar power toasters. This is what I'm saying, bro.
There we go. There we go. It does take a lot of energy to heat something up. So my uncle actually is into this stuff as well. And he's kind of sparked my love for it. And he said that one of the worst things to try and power when he was trying to get into solar was trying to heat something up like toast or boil a kettle. He says you'd be amazed at the amount of energy
Well, yeah, even in households, appliances, like energy conversion, particularly for heat, that uses all the most energy.
It's insane. So I think for me, like to sum up my answer is like the big thing I want is I want sustainability, but I want to have my cake and eat it in the fact that I want us to still live life like we do now. I want Howard, definitely. I want you to have quick toast.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
I don't need to hurt the environment at the same time.
Yeah. Marcus is right. Because what we need to do, I think there needs to be some kind of, this is an idea I had, if there's some kind of STEM or technological index share that allows you to apply for subsidies. So if you have a government, like a united government, in the same, and the premise for this is kind of based on the idea of like nuclear proliferation. So if you have all countries coming together, like G14, whatever, and the idea is that you liaise with banks or cryptocurrency, whatever, and you can financially incentivize either small to medium enterprises to have more sustainable stuff, or alternatively, you set forth a protocol for most nations. So let's say, for example, it's a nation that's based in like, you know, north of the Sahara. Mm. And you're like, if you plant this many trees, then you qualify for subsidies for like aid and stuff like that towards infrastructure. Or if you're a country that uses like wind power or you try to use like hydroelectricity, then you can be... countries collectively work together to subsidize you improving on their infrastructure. As part of that as well, I think it should be a global mandate, which is as strict as like nuclear proliferation. Any member of the UN, NATO or G14 that has municipal buildings like hospitals, police stations, fire departments, all of those should have solar panels. Government housing or affordable housing should also have solar panels. And not that they necessarily have to subsist on them, I don't understand why, if you're a government and budget is probably one of your biggest issues on a daily basis, if you can reduce emissions and reduce your costs to having these buildings, you know, which are required, but to plug into your power grid, then it makes no sense why you wouldn't have them. And if nothing else, just as a contingency plan.
Yeah.
Because if your grid ever goes out, like it did in Texas, you have access to an alternate energy source that can keep people alive.
It's a very, very, very wise point. And one day, Dame Baptiste, MP of
the South, solar party,
exactly, or the Green Party, because you know they can get, because they can now make bags, like you know, like plastic bags, but they can use like a form of like sap, So this is the kind of thing that we need to just move our, and I always have to do Howard for the catchphrase, collective consciousness towards this.
There we go. There's your bingo card.
Yeah,
guys.
Exactly. But we need to move towards it whereby we almost reward and incentivize nations and businesses now at this point of sustainability because it's required because we're at climate crisis.
I was about to say, we're fucked. So this is important.
It's important enough because like, at the moment, it's like, you'd think someone like Elon Musk who's already, you know, financed the production of Teslas, it'd be axiomatic for him to work towards something else. Like, I think it would make sense. Why not have set up a railroad or infrastructure in California or in California have some coppicing, or you can use drones to like plant seeds and stuff like that as well. And they can, you know, determine salinity of like soil and stuff like that and begin this replenishment process on a global scale. Like I think even in Ethiopia, they were doing like tree planting and in Sudan, they're doing replanting of trees and stuff like that as well. So
do you know who I'll give a shout out to before we go? I'm going to give a shout out to Qatar. That's that's not very regular. But you know, they got in all the trouble for the World Cups, because they basically kill all their workers. Oh no, funnily enough, go back over the last four World Cups and the countries have all killed a lot of their workers making the stadiums. But Qatar went, oh, this is bad PR. And they started making hats for their workers that basically check their temperature and cooled them down. And they've actually even gone further now and made T-shirts, right, that the players are going to wear, but also some of the workers have apparently been wearing, that checks your ECG. So if you're taking your body to a place where you can't, you're going to basically die or be you know in real trouble, they are they've got these ECG t-shirts now. So it's big shout out to Qatar.
I think that's fantastic. But could you imagine that, like, boss, I feel knackered, I'm really hot and I just don't feel right today. Your boss looks at his little iPad and goes, nah mate, your ECG's fine and you're only half a degree over. Get back to work.
How about you already got the health icon on Apple on your iPhone? We're not too far off, is what I'm saying. Like, if you can have it in your phone and your phone can monitor you, your how many steps and stuff you take a day, then who knows who they're sending that information to?
No.
So you're kind of, and that's the thing, is that if we are giving our ghost to the machine and it's monitoring us, then like you said, someone might be like, I feel under the weather, and according to your readings, you're not. And once you get to that point, then it gets really bad, man. But yeah, man, I'm glad to see there's the stuff you're looking forward to the most. I was thinking, like, what about, because for me, I don't know, what am I still looking forward to? I think I'm with you. The universal translator is the one I think I'm looking for.
Classic. Yeah, that would be good. There has been a lot in this show, Dane, and Marcus has been a fucking top guest, right?
Absolutely. I mean, he's just a homie, man. It's like, you know, I feel like with Marcus and Kay, it's just like, you know, it's like working with Missy and Timbaland and, you know, it's that kind of job.
We'll do a pod crossover at some point, maybe.
This is what I mean. Kind of... And it'd be crazy if we didn't do that. Like, you know, as I said, it's like
fun.
Deep Space, it's like, imagine, it'd be Deep Space Nine meets Voyager. Maybe not Enterprise, Marcus. I don't know how you felt about that. But for me, Scott Bakula in science fiction is always going to be Quantum Leap for me. Going to be Quantum Leap.
Yeah. Stick to Quantum Leap. But Marcus, you've got to tell the people where to listen to this podcast. We've mentioned a fair few times on the show.
So yeah, there's two podcasts. How to Kill an Hour is one of the podcasts where we talk about timeless tech stories. So there's a story about Xbox Underground, which is a bunch of teenagers. It's a recent episode we dropped where they started hacking into Xboxes and ended up stealing government secrets before they were 20 years old. It's a rough story. That's an episode to check out. And then there's a brand new podcast called Ain't Got a Clue. Me and the homie Kay Kurd, obviously good friends with you guys as well. Did he do your first episode of your
first
show?
And 100. Yeah. First
He's a hilariously funny guy as well, obviously, like Dane. And Ain't Got a Clue is a podcast where we take a quiz question, we give each other the answer to it, and using clever conversation and amazing sound design, we make sure that everybody at the end of the episode remembers it. There's episodes about a children's toy which funded the KKK, which is about to drop by the time this episode comes out. It's a rough one, but it's a funny one as well at the same time. In points, there's also a episode about Marmites, the origins of that, and there's an episode about how octopuses have 9 brains, and that isn't the craziest thing about them. So that's Ain't Got a Clue, myself and K-Curd, wherever you get your podcasts. I bring the facts, he brings the funny.
Well done, man. What a show. I'm quite excited to have a proper listen to it.
Definitely recommend it, guys. If you have if you want to kill an hour or two, then you have Dane Baptiste Questions Everything and Ain't Got a Clue. So enjoy. And Marcus, bro, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming through.
Appreciate it, man.
Obviously we'll stay in touch and I'll see you soon, bro.
Yeah, man. Look forward to the crossover episodes. Bye.
Absolutely. Thanks, bro.
You've been listening to Dane Baptiste Questions Everything, hosted by Dane Baptiste. For more from Dane, go to danebaptiste.co.uk or follow him on Twitter at DaneBapTweets or Instagram at DaneSnapTeaste. Our guest was Marcus Bronzy. You can follow Marcus on Twitter and Instagram at Marcus Bronzy. The show is produced by me, Howard Cohen. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Howard Cohen. The show is mixed and mastered by Audio Culture. You can follow Audio Culture on Instagram at We Are Audio Culture. Please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at DBQE Podcast. Thanks to Polly, Gelly, and the Acast team for all their support.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening, guys. And remember, question everything.